This special Blind Bargains convention cast is brought to you by HIMS, makers of the new GoVision transportable video magnifier. Learn more at HIMS-INC.com. HIMS, lifestyle innovation.
Hey, how's it going, folks? Welcome to Minneapolis and the ACB 2016 convention. We are live! I'm JJ Metal from Blind Bargains, and yes, this is a Blind Bargains cast on location. You know, my co-host Joe Steinkamp has dreamed of doing this for years, and he left yesterday. I told him we were going to do this, you know, but I found three really suitable replacements. They're not Joe, but they're also really cool people to join us on a panel to talk about some of the latest in tech, some of the cool things that we've been seeing here at the convention here in Minneapolis, and some other cool stuff. So first, I'll start to my right, podcast extraordinaire, the Fun Zone, right? Is that you still doing that? And a whole bunch of other things, Mr. Byron Lee. Yay!
So tonight's podcast is going to be interesting because about an hour and a half beforehand, I went to Nicolette Diner and had something called a Tipsy Girl Scout. So we'll see how things go.
I maybe want to know what that is. I don't know. All right. We have a couple more to my left. We have a bunch of Jeffs. We'll start with the one who has been on our show before, done some main menu in the past, does a lot with ACB Radio, and just an overall great guy at Jeff Bishop. It is Jeff Bishop.
Well, hello, JJ.
Hey there.
Yeah, it's great. It's been really fun here. And, I told someone earlier that I think I've even been called late for dinner here. So it's been a crazy, crazy week at convention, but we're really having a lot of fun.
I tell people they can call me anything that begins with J.
That's what I mean, right?
There's a couple of ones that maybe wouldn't be so good, but, you know, most of them would be fine.
Yeah, that's happening all the time here. So, but it's been fun and lots of really cool tech to see and lots of great conversations happening. Just some really, really great stuff.
So I asked this Jeff to help find some other people, and he found one person, which is amazing. Jeff, why don't you, you know more about this Jeff than me, actually. So tell us, why don't you go ahead and introduce our last panelist here.
Well, so, you know.
Put you on the spot here, I know.
Well, that's fine. So everyone knows that listens to Blind Bargains about Blind Abilities. And so I know that Jeff, who runs Blind Abilities, lives right here in the great city of Minneapolis. So I got a hold of him and said, come on down. He's only 20 minutes away, so he came back. So, Jeff, take it on, man.
All right. He's just Jeff. It doesn't even have a last name. It's just
Jeff. Oh,
that's
Jeff Thompson.
Anything with two J's, right, JJ?
Yeah. There's lots of three J's. I was looking at your Twitter. Wow, there's a lot of Byron J. Lee.
Wait, I was going to say,
yes.
John, yeah.
Well, thank you. Yeah. It was great to come back here. I spent the time down on the exhibit hall, and we had a booth down there, and I got home, relaxed, and all of a sudden this morning I got a phone call. You got to come back.
Hi, great to be Bishop. Here with
the Blind Bargains barbecue.
Barbecue. So, what did he promise you food?
No. Good. No. He said, come on back.
He didn't have anything.
Please come. I beg.
Please come back.
I'll be there.
Awesome. Well, it's good to meet you and glad to finally have you on the BBQ. That's what we call Blind Bargains Cast for short, or barbecue, or whatever you want to call it. We've done over 60 podcasts, and we've also done a lot of coverage from the exhibit hall at both the ACB and NFB conventions. Chancey Fleet's in Orlando, so that she did NFB. Joe Steinkamp was here doing ACB coverage in the exhibit hall. He regrettably could not be with us this evening. I said he did fly out a little bit earlier, but he was kind of hanging out the week. Hopefully some of you got to say hi to him or interrupt him in the middle of an interview. He loves that. You know, right in the middle, just kind of cut in and just butt in, and then you'll be in the outtakes. So the exhibit hall here, I was really busy in the exhibit hall. I mean, I've been in crazy. I've been doing the convention exhibit halls for a while. I was doing the AT guys table in Orlando. So the thing about running a table is you don't get to see the other tables because you're kind of stuck behind your own table. So I didn't really get a chance to see. I saw a couple of things, but I know these guys saw a lot more. Actually, come back to you, Mr. New Jeff Thompson, because you actually had a table. I'll let you tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll kind of get into some of the other things that you guys saw in the exhibit hall.
Okay. At our table, I'm a blind woodworker, and you know George Wurzel,
absolutely,
right? He's my guru guy.
He's awesome.
He's really good. And I met some other woodworkers, Ron Davidson, yeah, it was just really neat to catch up with the people. And I had some candy dispensers there, and we were giving away like the Shure MV88 microphone, the lightning port one. And we gave the Olympus DM7 to the students division for the raffle. And we raffled off a couple other items like a KNFB reader app and
good stuff.
That's right next to me.
Oh, yeah, I think it's off now.
But yeah,
it's live radio.
It's really great. This is the first convention I ever had a booth at, and right here in my
home.
From
Canada? Oh no, you're from Minneapolis. Close to Canada. It's the way you said booth. I guess you're right up here. It's really close. It's in the Minnesota accent. So that's really cool that you had a booth and that your first experience. How did that go? Running a booth. I know there's a lot that goes into just running an exhibit hall booth, just from the planning to getting everything in there, making sure everything's at your table, doing all the setup, making, you know, and then you have to be there for 20 some hours. It's a lot of time in the exhibit hall.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I wish Pete Lane or Cheryl Malusi could have been with me, but my wife was here, Lori, and she knows that my 15 minutes never turns out to be 15. It's like you take off, I'll be right back, and you stop at one, you stop at another, you run into someone, and it's like there's so much stuff out there, and yeah, it's hard. Yeah, but you get to meet a lot of connections, a lot of great people at the
convention. You do get to see so many people. It's one of the cool ways to see like lots of the people at the convention, because almost everybody comes to the exhibit hall at some point during the convention. So it's a really cool way to meet people. There was some cool products people were yelling out before the show. Let me start here, because this is one of the ones that was talked about a lot over the past week. Starting at CSUN, the Orbit Reader 20. This is the new low-cost Braille display, so it's going to be under $500 for a 20-cell Braille display. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, they had it here at convention, and some of us had an opportunity to meet with Kim Charlson, the ACB president, and she kind of gave us an update on all things Orbit. Now, I saw this a few months ago when I visited the Perkins School for the Blind, when I went up to Massachusetts, and they've really improved the speed of the unit and just are really refining it. It's really becoming something really special. And boy, to bring low cost Braille display technology to, you know, K-12 and younger students and to people who can't really afford to spend, you know, thousands of dollars or even $1,000 on a Braille display, it's really something else, and the impact on Braille literacy is going to be huge. So it's
an SD card slot, you can play books from it.
Yep.
There's been some talk, ideas of perhaps the Library of Congress getting these in, or to rent them out, as opposed to, you know, along with book players. I mean, I'm probably a little ways off, right?
Yeah. Now, Karen talked about that at the convention here. Mm-hmm. And there's some legislation that needs to change a little bit, and some
They're not even legally allowed to do it at the moment, which is really interesting.
Right. So there's some rules that have to change for the Library of Congress, and they're working on it. They're working on it. But her dream has always been, and she said this even many years ago, that, you know, I want everyone that wants one to have a Braille display so they can read books. So how cool is that, everybody?
That is really cool. Yes. That is really cool. I mean, just looking at, Braille electronics, as we know, has replaced Braille for a lot of people, and that has, you know, caused, it hurts you when you can't read Braille growing up. You don't learn how to spell things. You don't know what words look like. Yeah. It is vitally important to learn Braille. If you you have to have some means of looking at words. Audio is not the same thing. So to see a Braille display. Now, the little things are cut out, like no cursor routing keys. Is that a big deal, or is this?
You know, a lot of people have brought it up that they're really going to miss that. And I keep telling them, look, you know, this is not a device meant for that. This is truly a book reader. That's really what it was designed to be. The fact that it can interface with an iPhone, you know, a Bluetooth device like that is really sort of secondary in its design. I mean, it's built in, but it's really primarily a book reader. So I think for the price, it's a good starting point. I think that we're going to see innovation with this cell technology moving forward, probably. So I think you'll see a unit similar to the Orbit that will probably come out maybe, you know, a year or two from now, where it will have more features potentially. And this is just the opinion of Jeff, of course. I have no
this first one's coming out this fall is what we've heard. In the US, APH, Perkins, and NFB, I believe, are going to sell it. I guess others could, but those were the three organizations.
Right. NFB has said, I heard a rumor, And did you hear anything about this at the NFB convention, that they're going to sell it less than 500?
Yes.
That like was 300 that, or something like
he didn't
that?
Say that? He did not say, he just said less than 500, which could be 499.
Okay.
You know, and APH too, Larry too, when we talked about CSUN, that $500 price point, it's the really interesting thing about this to me is it's so nonprofit. So there's a lot of information out there. We know what it costs them to make the display. It's right. They said the wholesale cost is $320. It's not often you actually know what it costs the company to make the product they're selling to you.
Well, we know APH is going to, you know, put some accessories in the box. They're going to provide support, so you'll be able to call their 800 number and get support for, you know, yeah, for the unit. So, you know, to me, there's a lot of value in that. You know, to be able to call somebody up and work through an issue.
Absolutely.
That's huge. That's really huge. So, to me, that's personally the way that I'm going to go, just because I'm not really sure what the other guys are going to do for, as far as, you know, support. And I know what APH is doing, so that's what I'm going to be doing.
And stay tuned. We'll definitely, I know we'll be
covering. Who knows, though, you know?
Oh, who
you
knows?
Who knows? Who knows what things are going to look like? We don't know. So we'll just have to wait and see.
It's going to be really interesting to follow. Let's go, let's do the other spectrum. So that's under $500 for a 20 sub braille display. And one of the other probably most looked at things costs $5,500. I think you know what I
mean.
This is a new note taker from Humanware. We talked to Greg extensively at CSUN. The new Braille Note Touch, which is now shipping. And correct me if I'm wrong, did they announce an 18 cell now too? To go along with the 32, right. Yeah. All right. So which I believe is going to be around $4,000.
How much is that? Did anyone hear the price point on that one?
The old one, if they're matching the old, it's going to be 39, I think, if they're going to go. We'll have to double check on that one.
Well, I just have a question. So this is an Android tablet, right?
Yeah.
That has Keysoft built in?
Yes.
And
a new Keysoft.
Keysoft, right? That's written on Android. And it's got a Braille display. So my question is, I wonder what tablet they're using. Like what Android tablet they're using. Anyone know? The internals? That would be interesting to know that.
Most tablets are not more than a couple $100.
That's kind of where I'm going with this.
Right.
And look, I really understand the need to recoup some cost point on this, but it just to me seems a little high for an Android device. But I just don't know.
They sell a 32 cell Braille display in the Brilliant for $2,000.
Okay.
And then, you know, plus a tablet. I mean, there's a lot of development costs. They had to completely, it wasn't like going from the M-Power to the Apex. They had to completely rewrite Keysoft for Apex.
So there's that cost.
There is. That's all, I mean, that took them a couple of years to do that. So, you know, of course.
So maybe we're about right here. I don't know.
But yeah. I mean, I understand what you mean, what you're saying about the cost of technology. What do you think, Jeff?
What do you think, Jeff?
There's too many Jeffs over here.
I just tore my Perkins Brailler apart, vacuumed it out, and oiled it up, and it works again. That's how proud I am with that technology. And I used it at my booth.
I'll ship you mine. Wait.
So, you know, I have a thought about this Braille Note Touch. It's kind of an interesting technology because it bridges a divide between the blind world and the sighted educator world. So how many of you in school would do things in class that you weren't supposed to be doing because you knew because you knew that your teacher could not read your Braille display? Playing all kinds of games and stuff. So, well, you know, I don't know if the schools are going to purchase things like the Braille Note Touch because it's so expensive. That's true. They don't know what it is. But it's so cost prohibitive for them to do that. But I feel that as, you know, an educator, you could kind of check on your student and see what he or she is doing, provided that they're using this device. Now, of course, there's still the cover that covers up the screen to turn it into a keyboard. So maybe we still have some hope for, you know, like playing games in class after all.
No, I never did. Just Hangman, Blackjack. You on the Braille speak. You only had a few options. So there really wasn't. I had to make up games with the calculator just to keep myself interested.
I want to play Zork.
What was it? The one with the Braille, the Braille cells. There was still other ones like that. So
we need Infocom games on it.
Zort.
Yeah.
Well, the old Braille don't have the InfoComp, right? It had the text interpreter. So, you save $1,500 if you turn in your Apex 32, and I believe it's a...
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so okay, it's only $4,000. I mean, it's... Yeah. Only, I mean, you have to put the words "only" and $4,000 next to each other. I mean, it's cost prohibitive for many people. I mean, the question is, on its own as a piece of technology, is to say, if you could get Rehab to buy it for you, would you ask Rehab to buy something like this? I mean, I don't know. It runs Android, so it means you can do a lot with it. There, you can get lots of apps. You can get the, you know, I don't know.
Are we going to have the same problem that we had with like the PacMate where? You know, you're going to have third-party programs that you can actually run, but they're not built specifically for the device that you're running. So are they going to have problems? You know, trying to run Skype on a PacMate or something crazy like that because it's third-party and it's not going to be officially supported. So what about all these Android apps that are not really officially supported and they're being installed anyway? And then people go, well, my Braille Note doesn't work right. Well, you installed a non-supported app. Sorry.
Why Angry Birds isn't working on my Android? My Braille Note Touch. What? You need to call up in the tech support and try to figure out what's going on. But of course, more humanware coverage from CSUN and other times, and we'll keep talking about that. It's an interesting dilemma whether you want to. So you have both ends of the Braille spectrum: $5,500 and less than $500, and then of course some others in the middle, which haven't got as much attention but are still out there. The B2G from National Braille Press, the one from Ivory AT that I'm already Neo Braille. You know, that's kind of been just under the radar, and people aren't really even, you know, talking too much about that. Other things at the convention in the exhibit hall, Jeff Byron, what do you anything you guys see that jumped out at you as something different?
Well, so I want Jeff to talk about this one because I think it might be interesting for him to, because he sort of brought up rulers and things on one of his podcasts.
This thing is cool. Yeah.
So what was the name of that thing from National Braille Press?
What
was that called? Is Tina here?
It's a talking caliper. No, not talking. It is a Braille caliper.
Caliper. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Braille caliper.
And I bought one.
Did you see that, Jeff?
Cool. No, I didn't. I did see the Braille caliper.
Oh. It's a little ruler. It's a 12-inch ruler, and as you slide it down every 16th of an inch, it will click in. It's a genius. It'll click in the Braille of the, so like /16 is there in static Braille, but the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, as you move it down, will just change. We're talking about $5,000.
And it sold
items.
For $18.
$18. I bought one. I mean, it's an amazing. It's really a pretty amazing.
You're killing me. I got my click ruler.
Yeah, the click ruler. Oh, those things are cool.
So
it's a measurement device. What, there's not much else to say about it. I mean, buy it.
What were you going to say about your click ruler?
Well, I have three click rulers. I have all the extensions. I do woodworking all the time, right. And now I find out there's a caliper. See,
now,
I stuck to the booth.
Now the click rule does go beyond a foot. So there's that, and this is not. So, you know, you wanted the advantage of the click rule, which is
I must say, though, it's probably one of the most ingenious, cheap little gadgets I've seen in a really long time.
It is
fantastic.
Really
fantastic. Everybody must buy one. It's great.
Yeah, we have I've talked about it on our podcast before. We run a we don't work for them. We just like it.
No, I just like it. Really, yeah, it's geeky stuff.
It's just cool. We run a science program in Michigan for blind youth, and I think we're convincing them just to buy one for all the kids because it's just a great tool for school. I'm going to use it in our office to measure boxes as we send them out. And so sometimes they would. And for you Canadians, there's a metric version coming for the same price. They were prototyping that in the booth. So yeah, you know, the technology, the inventions, they don't have to be thousands of dollars. And sometimes it's one I heard about, but I didn't get a chance to see. But maybe one of you did this B specular thing.
I was just going to bring that up. And let's let Jeff Thompson, because he actually interviewed them on his podcast, right, Jeff?
Yeah, Stephanie and Giacomo. They are from South Africa, Italy. They met right here in the States for a summer program, and they're both into technology, and they got the app, and you take a picture of something and it goes out to the volunteers. You can even take 2-3 pictures in case you want to go left, right side and send it up, and volunteers come back within 20 seconds, and it lets you know that someone's actually responding. So you know, breaks up that waiting period, and then they respond, and they can respond either vocally or by type. And you can actually ask your question when you send it out, like, you know, what color are these shoes or something of that nature, and or match your tie, or you can type it out if you don't want to use your vocals, you know. So it's really neat. And I was beta testing it, and I didn't have to do anything. It just worked, and they're tweaking it, and they're going to be coming out with a premium. I think at the end of this year, somewhere along the line here, they're going to come out with a premium where there's a paid version, but they're guaranteeing to the end of 2016 that it's going to be free.
Features we have now in Bespecular will always be free. That's what they told us in the presentation that they gave here at ACB. And that in the new things, and they wouldn't tell us what the new premium features would be at this point. You did? Yeah, oh, did you?
But one of the things that they're going to have, and I think it's going to be in the free part though, but it isn't in this release yet, where you can save the photo to your to your library with the meta, the data. Like if someone told you those are mismatching shoes, Jeff, one's brown, one's black, it would save that. It would actually save that information in your camera roll.
I had a very interesting experience with this app from the other end. You know, we have a lot of blind people here who have tried it. I was in the room when Lynn Roberts was being a sightling, basically describing something as a blind person said, "Hey, you know, what is this or what color is it?" And, you know, and he had to get up from the conversation that we were having because his phone went off and run into the bathroom and describe something and then come back into the conversation. So it was kind of cool to watch it from the other end, because we're so used to experiencing it from our end with our voiceover and, you know, triple tap home and, oh, okay, I'm going to go into the app and ask somebody, what is this? But you don't really think of what it's like on the other end as being a sightling. So it was fun to watch.
So Uber was here at our convention. Boo. Uber's good, man.
One boo.
So, Uber was here, and they were giving out thumb drives with podcast information on it to guide people in the use of the Uber app. I thought that was kind of interesting, and that was it's pretty good.
It's really interesting, and some of you may have heard, Uber, while they're at the conventions, had an instance in Orlando where a passenger, you know, the usual guide dog, getting denied story. And then the driver proceeds to start to kind of pull away while the passenger is still in the vehicle.
Yes, we heard about that.
Yeah. Robert Stigel, I can never say his name, from Los Angeles. I mean, and of course, this happens right at a national convention. So, of course, you know, even more right on the 4th of July. You have both sides of this. Yeah, and this could happen to Lyft, too. I mean, you mentioned Uber, of course. That incident could have happened with Lyft, but these seem to keep happening there. Uber was at the conventions, and there's obviously a lot of potential there for blind people to have other ways to travel. As you know, in the millennial generation especially, it's really cool. It's not just blind people. The number of people under 18, under 25 with vehicles is at its lowest level in 50 years. Like, there's lots of people that just aren't getting cars, and because they're realizing there's other ways. They can take buses, they can do Uber, you can walk, you can take a bike. There's so many other ways to get around. So, you know, it's just the transportation options are only growing, and I think we're going to see more of those types of companies involved with the conventions in the future, which is really cool to see.
During the convention this week, and at our board meeting on last Saturday, we announced some pretty significant changes for ACB in the area of our Microsoft partnership. So this was a partnership that was announced in December of last year.
Yep.
Press release went out. And one of the really cool things that's happening is that Microsoft is partnering with ACB and moving our infrastructure for our national staff onto Office 365, including Exchange and getting all of our documents in cloud. And it's a really, really exciting venture that we're
going to be doing. It does make things a lot Yeah, it's gonna easier.
Yeah, it's gonna make it a lot easier. Allow our staff to be a lot more efficient anywhere, anytime. It's really, really cool stuff. So we were able to announce that here at convention.
You mentioned, and speaking of the tech stuff, and you mentioned, Jeff mentioned Canopy Reader a little earlier. There was some of that news going around. The Canopy Reader Android app right now is on sale for $20. So if you have Android, you can get the Canopy app for $20. If you have an iPhone, you can pay $64.99. Yeah, you know, if you just have a little tablet, like a Nexus tablet or whatever, something with a decent enough camera lying around, yeah, $20, you can get the KNFB Reader mobile app.
Well, now this is going to go out a few days after we record this. So how long is that? You
know, so the Android one, I think the iPhone sale might be over by right. The Android sale, it was a while supplies last.
What does that mean?
With some sort of, well, I think Google is actually helping in the sponsorship the way it was presented. So the $20 for Android is while supplies last, and we'll see if we can get some more clarification on what that means. Bye now, you know.
I need to buy a new Android tablet first because my old Nexus 7 is a, you know, one of the first generation Nexus 7s, you know, or was it, I don't know.
We have a finite number of these specific kind of bits. And once all those specific types of bits are out, you're going to have to pay full price.
Yeah.
Again.
When we meet, you know, get a terabyte of downloads and we'll stop.
Our servers are going to get, right. You know, we have to make more software. We have to create more downloads codes. The other thing that was demonstrated in the realm of KNFB was the KNFB Reader on Windows. It was demonstrated on a Microsoft Surface 4 tablet, and because of the processing power of that thing, by the time you hit the take picture button, in less than a second, it started reading the thing. So
when is that coming out?
In the fall. What it sounded like around October. No price was given on that one yet. I'm not sure if it's similar to the others. That could be interesting. And if it's, I don't know. And the other thing that wasn't clear to me yet is if it's just going to be camera based or if it would support flatbeds. Because if it supported flatbeds, I don't see them doing this. But I mean, if it did, that would be a huge hit on Kurzweil and OpenBook. But even if it doesn't, you know, a lot of Windows tablets now with really good cameras.
Is it going to support sending an image, you know, being able to open an image on the PC and or a PDF and having it scan it like you can now with Canon?
I don't see why it wouldn't.
Yeah,
they never really they didn't neat. Demonstrate that, but yeah, that's another really, I mean,
wow.
You had to get PDFs that fast.
Yeah.
That could be really interesting to do that. They mentioned Windows Phone, but anyway. for the three people that have it. I guess like if you do Windows tablets, you get the phone for free. I don't know, but so you know the tech news is always big at convention, and there's always you know, companies and organizations waiting to drop a proverbial bomb and just some cool new thing that's coming. So the lots of tech, whether in the exhibit hall or whether in the sessions, IRA.io, it's another one. Here we go again. There's so many crowdsourcing things. I don't know how many of these are going to last. So this is one that's more based using glasses to... it's a different one. There's so many of these things. This is more kind of like a Google Glass, but you would wear glasses and then you'd walk around and someone would describe your surroundings. So this is more video link, like Be My Eyes. And we were talking at first like, well, why would I want to wear glasses? Where would there be a situation where you'd want to do that as opposed to, you know, why couldn't I just hold my phone? But we started to come up with a couple, such as having someone help you navigate the buffet line, you know, and telling you what's what and what in what order, or doing the networking inside of a room. You're looking for people. This is interesting, although there's privacy issues here too. There's talk of them linking, like going from that to say like your Facebook or LinkedIn contacts, and then being able to identify your friends. You know, like, hey, there's Jeff. He's two tables over to the left. I mean, cool, but maybe a little, I don't know. I mean, that's...
A little creepy.
I mean, it could be really, really useful. I mean, you know, you walk into a room of 100 people, something, you really want to just want to... You're looking for two people in that room. Last year we called it the Year of the Helpful Cloud on the year-end show. And it's, you know, it's now it's starting to... You know, expand even further. Be My Eyes, CrowdViz, and it started with the take, you know, tap C and those, and there's so many of them. They won't all survive, but probably the best three or four ideas will survive. Whether and there'll be, I'm guessing, one or two paid options and one or two free options at least that will, or some that'll be freemium and be both. So, it's a different type of help, and you don't always have someone around there to answer questions like that, or which coffee is not the decaf, because I don't want the decaf, you know. So, you know, the exhibit hall, there was a new bomb. You guys see that there's a new bomb USB braille display, a 40 cell.
Oh, I didn't get over there.
I like bomb. And Ricky, yeah, you should have. Ricky was on there. I believe Ricky was working the booth over there.
It looks like.
Why would you buy a USB braille display in 2016?
Yeah.
Like, why would you not get a Bluetooth?
I don't know. How much is it? Is it
under $3,000 is all they said. But you can get the Braille Edge 40. You can get, you know, you can get the Brilliant. You can get the Focus 40 Blue, all for under $3,000. So, a USB only display, it would have to be under two.
It'd have to be well under two, I think.
Yeah.
Or at least at two or 19 or.
Yep. Yeah.
Something.
Definitely. So, you know, a little crazy though. So, other than that though, I mean, you got a lot of more of announcements at CSUN and in the convention. Let's talk about, I guess, for a few minutes before, and then we'll go into some audience questions. The news that dropped before the convention, involving three little letters here, VFO. And we've talked about this on the podcast a little bit. Woo-hoo! I'm hearing some interesting emotions from the audience. VFO is Vector Freedom Optolic. They now own them. Freedom Scientific Optolic AI Squared. And, of course, there's a lot of duplicate products there. I've given my opinion on the other podcast with Joe, but I would like to hear from you guys. And just what does this mean going forward, you know, as far as products? Or just any takes you guys might have on this?
I don't think it's going to change anything over the next 2 to 3 years. I think Doug Joffrey, who is one of the main developers behind WindowEyes, said it right, that he's actually very excited about this partnership. He thinks that the new CEO at Freedom Scientific is really customer focused, and I think that's true. I think there's the imaging. I think he really presents a different face to the organization. They have really gone out of their way to, you know, for example, this year we had the home use program here at ACB, and that was really popular for people to go get stuff.
And that was extended. I noticed AI Square was our booth neighbor in Orlando.
Yeah.
So that was extended to Zoom Text now too, which you could get
exactly.
Zoom Text for $75 or Fusion.
Right.
Everything but WindowEyes was in that program.
Yeah. So I picked up a copy of OpenBook.
They said it was, you know, everything but, I guess, WindowEyes.
Zoom Text for the Mac too, right?
Yeah. Zoom Text for the Mac.
Yeah. You want to talk about that?
Okay.
Yeah. Zoom Text for the Macs was $100 at the show.
So, you know.
OpenBook was $75. It was, you know, So I picked up a copy of that because I actually didn't own a copy. I thought, wow, where can you get that for?
Yeah.
You know?
We'll get to your questions, folks. We have
What does the future look like for the screen reader market? I don't know. And I don't think they know. I think that if you look at it strictly from a business perspective, I think it may not make sense to keep two screen readers and two screen magnification applications. But then how do you do that to transition users? I think it's a very complex problem to solve right now, and it's going to take them time to figure it out. But I do feel that whatever happens, they'll take care of the customer. You know, so if you're a WindowEyes customer, I'm sure that there'll be a way to bridge. If you're a Magic customer and you end up moving to Zoom Text, I mean, I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen, but if they decide to consolidate, then I'm sure they're going to have to do something really great for existing customers and make it work for them. It's a very complex problem.
Just to save the PR.
But this is way, way, way down the road. You know, this is, I don't think this is probably a 3 to 5 year thing out.
At least there's going to be more versions of everything.
Maybe longer, really.
Yeah. Duxbury bought Megadots in the mid 90s and held onto it for 20 years. And then finally with UEV, that's when they gave up. Wow. And they decided not to, they weren't going to update Megadots anymore. So, and then some companies have multiple, somebody was talking about, you know, like the washing machine companies or like they'll make more than one brand. And that's just how it is, you know? So they make multiple. So,
well, it's nice that one venture capitalist bought basically the three rather than have three different venture capitalists buying it, each one individually. Now that they're under one hood, I think they're stronger for the market. And that's why I spent $50 plus $100 for the SMA. And I'm a Mac user. Now I have JAWS just in case, just in case.
So it's funny you should bring up Apple because, you know, Apple has really sort of upended the assistive technology market, and so has NVDA in terms of, you know, what they provide and the power behind the products that they provide. I feel that VFO, they had to do this. They had to form the Megatron of assistive technology companies just to be able to provide products that can compete with this stuff. So I see a lot of good things coming out of them. And I think that combining the power of Zoom Text and Magic, or the power of Window Eyes and JAWS together to make something really good that can really compete, was a smart move. So we'll see what happens in the future. Maybe I'll be eating crow in 3 years, but I really think this could be something pretty awesome for us and for them. So we'll see.
I totally agree.
And eating shark?
Being someone that podcasts a lot about transition age students and college and stuff like that, I'm glad to see that JAWS, NVDA, everybody like that is strong, because if you want to be in the workplace, Apple's, you know, knowing voiceover really doesn't help you with your job task.
They've been improving on
it. It may get you to work, remind you to wake up, but
not to start this whole thing, but most of my Mac friends run boot camp and they run Windows on their Macs. So, you know, for something, you're running Windows usually. So, you know, so yeah, we'll definitely be talking about this.
I have one other comment, and that is that, you know, if you take a look at all this talent that's now combined, you know, you have Glenn Gordon, Eric Damery, you know, Doug Joffrey, you know, Joe Steven at Freedom, all these guys who are just so talented and just so immersed in this technology, and putting them all in one room and saying, okay, let's solve a problem. I mean, I just think it's great for the consumer. You know, I think it's good. I think overall this is going to turn out just fine. I don't think that we have much to worry about.
It may not be as doom and gloom.
No.
As people.
And nothing will change for the foreseeable future anyway. So we just keep going as we are right now.
So before we get into sound off, where our audience here and I can ask some questions, a tip. I got hooked on a new service when I was in Orlando at NFE. I got hooked on Amazon Prime Now. It's here too, and I think we have it here in Minneapolis as well. Amazon Prime Now is, you know, you thought gratification of getting something tomorrow or in 2 days was cool. Prime Now can bring it to you as quickly as 1 hour and in 2 hours for free. So pretty much what you do is you go on the website or the app, and I'll explain this in a minute because they're not entirely accessible, but you go on the one or the other and you get at least $20 worth of stuff. Well, what kind of stuff? Well, it varies a little bit from city to city. When I was ordering in Orlando, I ordered lots of, well, you call it soda. I call it pop. Pop. It's pop. Is it pop in Minnesota? It's pop in Minnesota. Great. Right. You know, and you know, chips, you know, block of cheese. You never have enough of those. Medications and things like that for, you know, non-prescription stuff, for granola bars. But, you know, they have other stuff there. I almost ordered, because I had it for $18. I was really tempted. One of those, like, 4-foot by 4-foot pool float, blow-up floats. We thought that would have been really cool, just to drop in the pool and roll around. And they had a boat and everything else. We ended up not doing that this time. Maybe next time we'll do that. You know, but they have all sorts of things, like 25,000 items, and you just go in there and you pick your delivery window from 8 in the morning to 10 o'clock at night. You tip your driver. They suggest usually like $5 for the tip. So, you know, that's pretty much your cost, and the prices were pretty comparable to anything else. Now, the website's 99% there to me, primenow.amazon.com, but the checkout button was having some problems, so I had to go into the app on Android, or you could do it on the iPhone, and actually go through the checkout process. At least that was my experience. But other than that, I mean, all these cool services here in Minneapolis. There's Postmates in Minneapolis. There is Mini Bar Delivery here in Minneapolis, where they will bring you all your booze right to your door, and it's pretty cheap. So you guys,
yay!
So again, yeah, primenow.amazon.com. You can send your tips to feedback@blindbargains.com. Now. We have 1% of the audience.
Did something happen?
I don't know. You know? You know? That'll be up to you, Patrick. Do you want to edit that out or not?
It's staying.
We'll be right back to more of our live convention cast from Minneapolis right after this message from Hims.
Go make it happen with GoVision, the new transportable video magnifier from Hims. With GoVision, you get all you'd expect from a transportable read, write, and distance magnifier with optical character recognition, plus the ability to enlarge and customize files, photos, and videos from your cell phone, tablet, or computer. Look at a slideshow of pictures from your vacation right from your thumb drive. Bring the world into focus with GoVision. For more information, call us at 888-520-4467. Visit us on the web at www.hims-inc.com and follow us on social media. Hims, lifestyle innovation.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback at blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
So, here's what we're going to do. It's your turn to sound off. Yeah, normally, as you heard, you can write us feedback at blindbargains.com or you can tweet us at blindbargains. We are here in Minneapolis at ACB 2016, so we're going to spend a few minutes and take a couple questions from the audience. So, we're going to send the little man with the microphone out there, Byron Lee. So,
he's
don't yell out the question.
Reporter.
Go ahead and... get Byron's attention in whatever way Byron's going to come
Tina,
up there.
I think Tina had a question a few minutes ago.
Take mine. That way, now I'll run over by Jeff if I want to say something.
Okay. All right. So I'm visually impaired too. So don't raise your hands. Call me. Call my name out. Call my name. All right. Here you go.
I'm Tina, and I have a quick question about the AI squared the Zoom Text Fusion. So when I went by their booth, they said that the Zoom Text Fusion was, you know, on sale for whatever it was, $100 or whatever. And then they had Zoom Text Fusion plus the, they call it an ESP for an extended service plan for $175. But what they didn't have was they didn't just have the ESP alone. He was going to call it the next day, but then I never got back around to the booth. So I don't know if they were going to offer that or not. So does anybody know if they were offering the just the service contract if you already have a license for Fusion?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
All right. Any other audience questions? All right.
First of all, this is Renee Zellickson. Okay. I'd like to know, I have that MacBook, the new MacBook, and I know we're going to get Windows 10. If I put it on the other side, is anybody finding Fusion complicated to run besides me? I'm thinking about, I have to check my memory. I don't know how much memory Windows 10 takes. We also have an iMac, so I know we're going to try and put it on there somehow, but wondered if anybody know that. And just a kind of a comment about the glasses. Yeah, I could see the privacy issue because you come in there, oh, Jeff. Jeff is at the next table. Yeah, well, wait a minute. Jeff told me he wasn't going to be here. He told me he was going to be someplace else, or he couldn't come or whatever. I don't know. I know I could just see that, you know, husband.
You can no longer hide.
Yeah. So I can kind of see the privacy issue about that. I just wanted to throw that in.
Okay. So I, at work, have a Mac, yeah, and I run Windows 10 inside of VMware Fusion. Now, you can also do this through Bootcamp, and you can even run the Bootcamp version of Windows 10 under VMware Fusion as well. It's not that complicated. No, not really. It's really not. I mean, well, it might. Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's relative. There's some step-by-step guides on AppleViz that talk about how to configure VMware Fusion to work well with Windows 10, for example, with JAWS, for example. And so you can refer to that. You can email me if you want, Renee, and I'll give you some more. How much do you have on your Mac now? You don't know?
No, I don't.
What year Mac is it?
It's this year.
The 2016. Okay. So you have.
Oh, well, I hope you bought it. How much was it?
It was.
She probably didn't go to Blind Bargains.
Well, because here's the thing. A lot of the 2016, you know, Macs, you can't upgrade the memory because it's soldered onto the...
Right.
Oh, you did. So it's 16.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good. Okay. So you want to give it, this all comes down to what applications you're going to be running into Windows. Windows will use as much memory as you can throw at it. So you need to decide what applications you're going to run on the Mac side while you're running VMware Fusion, as well as what applications you tend to want to run on inside of VMware Fusion. So what I do is because of cost reasons mainly, I only have 8 gig of memory on my Mac at the office. So I split it between 4 and 4, and it works fine for what I do. And I do a lot. I do a lot both on the Mac side and on the Windows side. So, but if you have 16, then I would advise you split it 8-8. And you'll be rocking
for most people, you're doing like audio editing or video, you know, all sorts of crazy.
Yeah,
those guys go crazy.
Yeah, they will go crazy.
They go crazy.
So, same keyboard. You don't need a separate keyboard.
I think Byron said you're running. We had another question.
Call my name. All right, I'm on my way.
Hello, Shirley.
Good evening. My name is Shirley. I am curious if any of you tech gurus up there had an opportunity to look at the L Braille, and if so, what your thoughts were on it. That was one of the new Braille things that hasn't gotten mentioned so far this evening.
I didn't look at it here, but I did look at it at CSUN, and I know it was talked about a lot more. So L Braille is Freedom Scientific's amalgamation of a Braille display and a Windows 10 computer. I'm assuming that's what it still is, right? It hasn't changed at all. So it's a really fancy dock for a Focus 14. It's a really expensive fancy dock for a Focus 14. It's what, $1,200 or $1,300? There was a couple of things that I wasn't clear about at CSUN that I'm not still sure about. One is, do you have to run JAWS? Do they lock it down, or can you just put any screenwriter? Now, of course, they're going to want to sell it to you with JAWS, but you know, is there a way around that? Because I don't want to run JAWS. Can you run NVDA or something else on it? That was the biggest one. But I mean, it's the idea of a Windows 10 Braille display system is in that I like the compactness of the thing. I will say, from a form factor design, wise, I like it. I don't know of the utility of it. Why would I buy that versus, and then it's only 14 cells. Why would I buy that versus buying a 32 cell Braille display and pairing it to my existing laptop? I don't know, other than having one device instead of two to carry around. I mean, I guess that's something, is an extra $1,000, $1,500 for less cells worth a little more portability? I don't know. They're trying something that hasn't really been tried before. The other thing about that is, any note taker that's been out there before has been at least 18 cells or more. So at only 14 cells for what's supposed to be a full-fledged Windows computer, that to me, I think, is a little limiting. And maybe and they went with it because they already had an existing Braille display to work around. But to me, seems to be a little bit limiting. 14 cells, 14 cells barely fits the phone number for AT guys. So it's a really small. But you got any more out there, Byron? Yeah. We got one more. Here's Mr. Byron Lee is going to walk
How are
around.
You? This is Eric. And good afternoon, everybody on the internet here. And I just want to make a comment.
You're not going to say hi back yet. You have to.
Yeah, so I got a comment. Well, I'll tell you this. You were discussing the L-Braille, and I actually spent some time with it. Now, the specs as shipping so far, I would say, are kind of lacking. It only has like 2 gigs of RAM. For an example, it has a SIM card, but the current hardware doesn't support LTE. So you basically have a 3G system if you can live with that. Now, supposedly they say they're gonna quote unquote upgrade it for the U.S. market. So we don't know what that means, but. Now, I will tell you what, I do think that the JAWS version is actually locked, because I did I actually did get the guy to actually reboot it, and you could, of course, look at the status screen, and it displayed the firmware version of the Focus 14 display, and after that, JAWS Windows actually loaded, so it loaded actually before the logon screen actually appeared, so I do think that JAWS is probably pretty deeply integrated into the system. All okay, right. I'll shut up. I promise. That's enough.
No, appreciate the.
Anyway, appreciate the if feedback. You guys have any comments, let me know.
Yeah, I think as far as L Braille, I'm not sure much else we can say about it. But we're gonna have to learn a lot more. about it for sure. We have one more lady back there. I think that we'll end with her on the questions.
One more comment, JJ. I know that
two more of them. We'll do. I heard you and okay.
I know that Amazon has came out with the Echo and the Tap. I just looked it up. JJ, you know Mystic Access, right?
Yes, Mystic Access does a lot of the podcasts. They've sponsored us before. They do some really cool tutorials, of course.
There are some tutorials on it because I just found it earlier. So I just wanted to, if anybody wants to know how to use this stuff, their demos are, tutorials are very cheap. But
we have one more comment.
Okay, I don't know if we've addressed them here. I don't think we've addressed them here. But one of the sessions earlier in the week was talking about the Amazon Kindle Fire HD 6, 7, and 8. And they're really nice because they're cheap. They're start at like $50, go up to maybe $100, $120 depending on the features you want, whether you want the microphone or the Dolby sound or whatever. And they are relatively accessible, I would say. They aren't fully accessible. For instance, you can browse the web, you can do email. However, you can't necessarily type in the editor because I have no idea why not, but you can type in the search boxes and they work. So I don't know why you wouldn't be able to type in the editor. They just haven't enabled that feature in terms of being accessible. But it uses this thing called Voice View, and it's amazing to be able to get some $50 to $100 gadget that actually you can make accessible. It's kind of crazy. So my hat's off to them, I guess. They've finally done some good work there.
Byron, was there one more way in the back?
I think there was one more way in the back.
We can get one here.
Right. Where are you?
Last one.
All right, this is the last one.
Hey, everybody. JJ, I met you earlier today. This is Randy, and I just want to say before I make my other comment that I really love the show, and I look forward to it every week, so keep up the awesome work. And Yeah, sometimes I look forward to, it's like if you don't have it for a week, it's like, okay, where's my podcast? And I truly mean that. So my question is rather odd, and I wrote in about this, and I don't know how y'all feel, but years ago I was a Zoom text user before I lost vision. And the reason I was a Zoom text user is because Magic would block the text and it was harder to read. And my comment gets to these, what's the word, mergers, I guess is the word I'm looking for. Because I was a JAWS user at the same time because I was using it for longer documents for school that I would scan in, but then I would go back to Zoom text for my everyday, you know, computer use. And I guess my concern is that I use WindowEyes when need be, but I'm not a huge fan of it. I'm kind of, we all have our favorite screen readers. So I was wondering if you guys had any thoughts on, you know, the new Zoom Text Fusion and Magic. I know everybody sees differently than I used to, but I don't know. I kind of like how things turned out. You know, I had Zoom text and now I switched to JAWS and I don't know.
You know? Might be a Byron question over there.
Just a comment that I had. Maybe it was just me. That's just weird. I don't know. But with these mergers, yeah. I don't know, you know.
Well, let's let Byron hear.
Zoom text is certainly the popular. The
market
very,
leader
very
by a long
popular.
Shot. Yeah.
Right. Zoom text. Right.
My question gets to be, why would I want to get Zoom text for the Mac when the Mac already has a Zoom feature that works very well, and thanks to Byron, that I put it on more, whatever that thing was that he told me to check at Box for clarity or whatever, so now when I really got to Zoom in, it's crystal clear.
To answer the question, about that, the whole thing about Zoom Text and Mac, I actually tried Zoom Text for Mac and it's actually very nice. First of all, they have technology in there that when you have to zoom way in, you can get a lot closer with Zoom Text for Mac than you can with the built-in stuff. Also, when you hover your mouse over things, you can make it read blocks of text, and you can do keyboard gestures that you can't do with the Mac magnifier. It's still great. Mac magnifier is awesome if you don't want to pay for Zoom Text for Mac, but if you want that little extra oomph in terms of accessibility for low vision users, it's a good idea. And in terms of Mac, Zoom Text versus Magic on Windows, I actually have very little experience with Magic, although I would imagine that if I ever did get a chance to really get in there and dig into it and play with it, that I might like it better because I know a lot about JAWS. I use JAWS every day for work. I use JAWS when my eyes get tired. I use NVDA, of course, as well. But you know, the Zoom text thing, there's until recently, there hasn't been a screen reader slash magnifier fusion, if you will, until recently. So if you know WindowEyes and you know Zoom text, then Zoom text fusion might be the way to go. Otherwise, if you're familiar with all the JAWS keystrokes, then Magic's the way to go. So it just depends on what you like and what you need.
We have lots of comments and questions. We're coming close to the end of the session. So if you guys have questions in the future, of course, you can email feedback@blindbargains.com. You can tweet us @blindbargains. We just have about 5 minutes to go on the show tonight. I don't know if you had anything, Byron, as far as stories. What we're thinking, I was kind of thinking back here, and I had a couple, or at least one myself, interesting convention moments. PG-13 or less.
Okay, well, I actually do have a really interesting convention moment that happened to me today, actually. I have been working with Rick Morin and Larry Turnbull and Debbie Hitt. See, now I've started naming names, so now I have to remember all of them. So that was a mistake. Yeah. So, Jeff Bishop and everybody, Jason Castingway and Ron Hughes. And if I forgot anyone, I'm sorry. I'm operating on maybe 4 hours of sleep. What's that?
You said you got them all.
I got them all. Okay, good. All right, so I've been working with the audio team this week, and I have seen a lot of the behind the scenes of the convention, not a lot of the front facing stuff like the exhibit hall and a lot of the sessions and stuff. Not complaining. Had a blast. Had a fun time. But I had a really bad experience this afternoon. As many of you guys know, on the fourth floor, there's now a ballroom dancing competition. Wow. Yes. Lots of pretty dresses and jewelry and all kinds of stuff up there. Well, I was told to go to the fourth floor to take certain audio equipment out. And, oh, see, some people already know the story. That's funny.
You walked into the wrong room, didn't you?
Yes, I walked into the wrong room. So I was told, go to Lake Nokomis and get whatever audio equipment we have in there and go to all the other rooms and check for audio equipment, make sure we have it all out. So I went into one of the rooms I was told to go look into, and it turned out to be a changing room.
wait. The question is, if Larry found it, how come you couldn't?
Oh, so, I was shooed off of the fourth floor and told never to return. So there you go.
I don't know if any of us could. I'm not sure if any of us could follow that.
I think that's a good way to end the show.
I think, you know what? I think we're gonna wrap it up here, folks. Wow, man. That's it. This is Blind Bargains Cast, and I'm gonna let these guys give their contact information so you can track them down. But it's been a lot of fun to do this live, and sorry Joe wasn't here, and he's probably gonna hate me that we did this, you know, but we made it happen. Really cool. Thank you guys for coming here at ACB 2016 in Minneapolis. Including the one person that was kind of snoring in the front for a little while. It's okay. And then they woke back up. So we're good. I'm sure that
Thanks,
was
Thanks, everybody. That was fun.
I think that's when I was talking. I don't know. So we're going to go through before the end here. And we're going to let people give out their contact information. We'll start with you guys over there. Just let people know how they can get a hold of you, Jeff.
All right. We'll start with me and then we'll go to the right, I guess. So you can find me on Twitter at Jeff Bishop. You can email me at jeff@jeffbishop.com. And that's probably the best way to reach me. So I'll hand it here to the great Thompson.
That's a deep voice, hard to follow. You can find me at jthompson685 on Twitter or at blindabilities on Twitter. And thank you all for coming.
My name is Byron Lee, and you can send letters and things that are not like escape instruments to the Minnesota Penitentiary. My Twitter username is Byron27, BYRON27. You can also check out my website, byronlee.com.
And I'm JJ Meadow. We are AT guys. We help run Blind Bargains. You can find us at blindbargains.com, Twitter @blindbargains. You can email feedback@blindbargains.com. And if you have a question about any of the products that we brought to the conventions, or you want to check out that type of stuff, all the tech gear, that is at atguys.com and @atguys. You can email support@atguys.com. So thank you all here and live in Minneapolis. Thank you all so much for coming. Thanks for everybody who's listening. Thanks to Patrick Perdue, who we've bestowed a a live recording on him for the first time with a single track, and we'll see what he does with it. But he is our audio engineer, and he does an awesome job. So thank you so much, Patrick, for doing that. Thank you, Joe Steinkamp here in Minneapolis, and Chansey Fleet in Orlando for doing convention coverage and interviews. You can go check those out at blindbargains.com, as well as the Blind Bargains app on your iOS or Android device. And of course, you can go check out all the cool, lots of cool convention coverage. We'll be back to a normal show, whatever that is, next time. So thank you so much for listening, folks. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2016.